So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to Revolver!
Got in the limo and Marty started straight on it, Spud. Who cares who has more followers?
Rockstar Spud, don't pretend you're asleep. You have half the followers I do, and you're a bigger star.
The only reason Marty has more followers than me is because he went on a dating show. He's not a star, he's an embarrassment.
Yeah, exactly. So,
because you went on a dating show, Marty.
Did you?
A dating show.
Stop.
In the base mode, say what you want about my TV appearances, but I have double the followers you do. So, you know,
Marty.
Go on,
I
what?
Swear to God. Go on. The girls went here. They'd yeah. smack you in the face.
You would not.
I would smack you.
You would not.
Okay, we are. Okay. Oh my God! I cannot believe Spud hit Marty.
Spud hits me? Are you kidding me? Just because I've got more followers than him? You are damn right I hit him! And that's what happens when you run your mouth! And it would have been a damn sight worse if the girls weren't there, Marty!
Are we gonna be friends?
Fuck off!
Welcome to Review Away. It is John Pollock and Wei Ting with you this week. Wei, how are you?
Fantastic.
It's great. You are looking in peak physical shape.
Oh, is that right? Why do you say that?
You've gone through, I think, a bit of a physical transformation of late.
Have I?
You have.
Okay. Well, is that good?
Well, I think it's showing it's reaping the rewards of the work you have put in. are you clean?
Yes. I mean, no comment.
Oh.
I'll have a Vitor Belfort answer.
Jesus. Like, are you going to like head kick me and then I can Michael Bisping and reply?
It's
saying,
none of your business. What I do on my time is my own choice. And it's not something I need to talk about to the media.
Talk about an answer where it's like you just can't get out of. You refuse to lie, and therefore you pretty much are saying, yeah. Because if you weren't, you'd say, no, that's a lie.
Why don't you think he actually would? Why doesn't he just lie? Why doesn't he just say no?
Because you know what? Someone's going to – it took all of, what, 2 weeks for the UFC, no less, to come out and say, oh, yeah. He was on that stuff. Yeah. We allowed it.
I guess when you have you're kind of in a bind when you're tied down to, you know, some very religious beliefs – that maybe prevent you from lying.
I guess so.
I don't know.
What
do you think about the Pope stepping down?
This is a big announcement. The Pope is stepping down. Not D'Angelo De Niro, which I've seen that joke many a time.
He stepped down too.
Yes. He was involuntarily stepped down. He said, right. We don't want, there's nowhere for you to stand any longer. We are removing your spot from this company. Yeah, I remember actually when he was first, I don't know if the term is called sworn in or Vaticanized, whatever it was, when he came in. I believe it was WrestleMania weekend 2005, because I was working at another Toronto radio station and we had full coverage of the Pope being announced as, yeah, you are the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of controversy.
Why is that? Why?
Because he has very conservative beliefs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't all popes?
I would assume the majority of them do. Okay. But, what's this guy's name? Ratzinger? Was that his last name?
Yeah, I believe so. I just read an article.
I'm not up on my pope knowledge.
Oh, okay.
What are your thoughts? You brought it up, so clearly this has affected Wei Ting.
I just found out about it 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Where did you read it?
I read it on a website.
For
Twitter, actually. Yeah, all these people are making these Pope jokes.
Is there a good Pope joke out there? Let's see if we can find one quickly here.
Yes, I read one. It was retweeted by somebody. The Pope stepped down and Kim Winslow quickly
stood her up.
Stood her up.
Stood
him back up.
Oh, that's a decent joke. Yeah. There you go. Well, Mr. Ting, We are going to be having a very heavy UK-focused review today.
Yeah.
And we were talking about you on The Law Sunday night, the fact that when you were watching Impact, you had no idea really what British boot camp was. Right. You really weren't familiar until I suggested it last week. So you went into this kind of with no prior knowledge of what exactly this was.
And I imagine I'm not alone in that. Nope. You know, as somebody who watches TNA every week, you really wouldn't know about it until this past week where they did mention, basically announced the winner in that set of UK shows. Yeah, it's, you know, like, it's much like Rinka King in that it's a TNA property. And it's, you know, very much involved with the same people, but it's really completely under the radar if you're in North America and don't know anything about it.
Yes, and that's one of the things you look at here in terms of it was a very small production company. I mean, Jeremy Borash was a major person here behind the scenes putting this together. I mean, shooting this, editing this on the road. I mean, Jeremy Borash was
He did it all.
He was like kind of the glue here of this whole series.
I mean, he was holding the camera and then he was editing it afterwards.
I know he was definitely editing, and I think he was shooting a lot of
it
too.
Wow, okay, that's great.
So it was obviously a very small crew, which can be good because I think you can... you're not as constrained. I think there's good and bad with comes with, you know, smaller budget, smaller crew, and, you know, you do have to be, because obviously the comparison point is going to be tough enough that people have watching this program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a benefit and it's a disadvantage in many ways. I mean, just imagine the pressure for a small crew to be able, to put six shows like this together. In the time frame that they had, they shot this one, John, because they were leading up to Bound for Glory, so this must have been over the summer.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, end of August and then shooting, you know, September, October and maybe a little into November.
Right.
That's probably the time frame. And then this debuted on New Year's Day over in the UK on Challenge TV, which is where all of TNA's programming is.
Do we know anything about ratings, how this fared?
Yeah, I don't have specifics, but it did well. Like 100,000 or so viewers, I want to say, is around the average, a little under, a little over, I think, between these six episodes.
And this led into Impact in the UK, correct? Because watching these episodes, I saw little crawls on the corner saying TNA Impact coming out.
Okay, then, so yeah, I guess it was a lead-in then rather than having it come out of Impact.
Do you have any idea like how popular TNA actually is in the UK? I mean, judging from those crowd reactions that we've been seeing these past few weeks, they seem way more popular in the UK than they do here in North America.
It's always been a real hotbed for them, and you know, I don't live in the UK, so I can't speak to it as you know, our listeners who are actually over there can. But it feels like they get. I mean, Challenge TV sounds like, you know, it's not like you're kind of a network television, but it's still a very good television platform from them. UK fans, I think, are just some of the most loyal and passionate fans. I mean,
about professional wrestling.
Yes, about professional wrestling. Like, I mean, we look every week at just our feedback and stuff. Mm-hmm. The amount of people we hear from, like, from England specifically, it's huge. I would, you know, I've seen stats before for our shows where it's like England is like right behind like the US and Canada in terms of like listenership when it comes to percentages. So you know, and you have that history that they kind of tried to play off of throughout this series, and I think a lot of people connect with that. And much like in Toronto, and we've talked about this in the past, I think in England, pro wrestling viewed much differently than, you know, a lot of pockets in the US and stuff. I mean, there's a big history, and it's viewed as, you know, popular sport that people follow and have a lot of respect for. It gets coverage in newspapers, and they even had a media day here for the contestants.
Yeah, so it sort of surprises me that, you know, WWE hasn't really attempted something like this specifically for the UK market, whereas TNA seems to be making a much, I don't know, I guess a much more public and visible attempt at attracting audiences in different markets.
Yeah, and I, again, going back, I think Jeremy Borash is a huge kind of a proponent of that because, you know, he is really instrumental behind Explosion that airs in the UK and really tailoring it for the UK audience. Mm-hmm. And that's why they go there once a year. They do, you know, very respectable numbers in the UK, both on television and live events. And as we've seen with the crowd reactions to these shows. So, I mean, that's a market where TNA, feels like a really, really hot company. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very interesting how they've really kind of taken that territory and, you know, really tried to make it their own. They know the WWE can't focus all their attention just on that one pocket to the degree TNA does allow itself to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, Some very interesting, you know, differences here in UK television versus here way. Most notably, the music that they were able to use here, which would, as soon as I heard about this project months ago, I inquired about it here of, you know, Fight Network trying to make a pitch to get this show. And after watching 5 minutes of this, I realized we would never be able to air this without significant production changes here.
Yeah, although we have aired shows in the UK in the past. We aired Danny Dyer's. Remember that show?
Yes. Did that have commercial music in it?
I believe at parts.
I can honestly say I never watched an episode of Danny Dyer's.
How dare you not watch
Deadliest Men? Or
how dare you not watch our channel all the time?
Well, it's not on our channel anymore. So what does that tell you?
Well, it was.
It was. It's not anymore.
We also aired this one where this guy who used to be a fashion designer travels to different parts of the world and studies different martial arts. I forget the name of that one.
Oh yeah, he was another Ross Kemp.
No.
No, that was another guy. That's Ross another Kemp on Gangs.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Another show I never watched.
Ross Kemp.
Do you know we have a new show that debuted this past Monday night? It's an hour of CMLL and New Japan Pro Wrestling.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Neither did I until I had to do a throw for it today. debuted this past Monday night. Best kept secret.
Oh, Jesus.
In Canadian television. Well, New Japan.
New Japan Pro Wrestling. There's the big announcement here.
I'm told nothing.
Yeah, so, neither am I. Jesus. Well, hey, there you go. New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Monday at 8 o'clock, if it stays in that slot.
I knew we were getting it. I just didn't know when we were going to debut it, and all of a sudden it just happened right under our noses. Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. Order the Fight Network. You can start watching it. You discover things along with us.
Did you... Are you going to check out any of the New Japan pay-per-view from this past weekend, Mr. Ting?
I haven't really heard anything about it. If I hear some good things, have you watched it?
Yes, I did.
How was it?
Main event was awesome. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Carl Anderson. I don't think this was at the level of some of their prior shows, especially right. The Tokyo Dome, which will probably be show of the year. But, man, Tanahashi Anderson was really great. There was a tag match with Alex Shelley and Kushida against Alex Kozlov and Rocky Romero. The best, you'll love this, is Alex Kozlov does, like, you know, the Soviet gimmick,
yeah,
where he gets into the ring and he sings the Soviet national anthem, like traditional heel spot. The entire Hiroshima Sun Plaza, they all stand at attention.
Yeah.
No one boos. They all stand. And then he gets through the whole song, and then at the end, they all applaud. They're the most respectful audience ever. They will not disrespect the Soviet. God bless the USSR in memory.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
It's amazing. It's like the first time Kozlov must have done that and got that reaction was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, that's so great.
But again, a very fun New Japan iPay-per-view.
I think I might check some of that out. Did Sakuraba have a match?
Yes, him and Shibata. They took on Wataru Inoue and, oh, Christ, Haruki Goto. Okay. Tag match.
Cool.
So there you go.
All right.
Next iPay-per-view, by the way, WrestleMania weekend. Brilliant.
Ooh.
There is a UFC that weekend. There is a New Japan iPay-per-view.
And there's a shitload of everything else.
Dude, I've been putting together a loose schedule for us. It's insane. Like, yeah. It's absolutely... Like, there's no way we can do, like, a fraction. Like, look at this right here. I have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's just what I found off the top of my head here.
That's what's going on. That looks like a lot.
Saturday, WrestleFest, Legends of the Ring, Ring of Honor television taping, Chikara, Dragon Gate USA, WWE Hall of Fame, $5 wrestling.
Well, you're certainly getting your money's worth if you're traveling all the way down there. And I'm assuming, actually, a lot of our listeners from the UK will probably make the trip, too.
I think so.
It really is the best value if you're a wrestler.
We have to go to this way. I think you will want to see this. Friday night, 11:55.
Oh, God. Kaiju
Big Battle.
Big Battle.
Which also aired on Fight Network at one time.
No.
It? No?
Did not.
It didn't?
No.
Okay.
You're mistaken. But it's not even... I'm surprised we haven't even reviewed an episode of that on our podcast here.
Well, maybe in preparation for WrestleMania weekend, one week we will.
For people who don't know, Kaiju Big Battle is
EL.
Yeah. It's an independent wrestling promotion where all the wrestlers, if you can call them that, they dress up in, like, if you remember, like, Power Rangers when the Zords used to fight the monsters, this is basically that. These guys dress up in giant robot costumes or monster costumes, and they fight on a set of tiny buildings. And it looks amazing. So that is to come in a future review.
We never aired that.
We never.
No. Oh. Maybe they were talking with them
yeah,
about getting
it. Yeah, you might have
screened one. Because that's when I had first heard it. I heard someone here talking about it.
No, maybe we'll scope out in a live edition, and maybe we'll come back with some
notes. We should put together, dedicate some time on one of our future shows of putting together our WrestleMania weekend schedule. And then every listener will know where we will be.
What are you talking about?
When we go through, we're going to have to pick here what we're going to and what we're going to skip.
Yeah.
And I'm saying we could plan our schedule, and then people listening to this that might be there that weekend, they will know where we are going to be.
Well, I'm sure we'll do that anyway.
Yeah.
We'll be talking
where we're going to eat, where we will be sleeping.
I don't know about that.
No, we'll limit it to events. It's a big, big turnout at WrestleMania this year in terms of Court Bauer, Alex Greenfield, Ariel Helwani, Mike Schiappetta, Matt Riddle.
New York, New Jersey. I mean, the whole pro wrestling community, I imagine, will be there.
It's going to be a happening.
Yes, it will be. Maybe even Rockstar Spud will be there.
Well, TNA is going to be doing a show on the Friday night, I believe. I believe so. I think they're going head-to-head with Ring of Honor. So,
oh,
I don't know.
Rockstar Spud.
Yeah,
or...
they are going head-to-head with, ROH and CZW.
Okay.
And Pro Wrestling Syndicate. Jesus Christ. There are four shows at one time on that Friday night.
There are only so many days leading up to WrestleMania, right? I'd like to go to the show that's competing against WrestleMania. Is there one?
You know what? No one has decided to go head-to-head, though Dragon Gate USA is going head-to-head with the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Well, not everybody can
compete. I've got to say, 2 months out, I am most looking forward to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, usually it's the Hall of Fame that's the highlight of the weekend. But you know what?
I believe Bruno Sammartino is going to set the record with a 90-minute speech.
Oh, okay.
I believe it is going to be the longest speech we've ever heard at a Hall of Fame, and I think it's going to be great. Believe me, I don't think it's going to be, falling asleep or anything like that. Yeah. But I don't believe this guy, he is not going to listen to any writer that is going to help him with the speech, nor is he going to recognize a prompter or a wrap-up sign.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I look forward to that. Better get your bathroom breaks ready. 90 minutes, that's a marathon.
You got to really time them out well.
That's a feature-length movie.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know what also is a feature-length movie?
No.
Bullet to the Head, starring Sylvester Stallone, which I went to go watch this past weekend.
Oh, okay. Let's detour from our review.
We're avoiding British Boot Camp right now. Bullet to the Head is a terrible movie. The wrestling tie-in is there's an Asian actor. Fuck, he was in Fast Five. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
I don't want to be disrespectful, and I want to get his name. But anyway, he is the cop here to Sylvester Stallone. And at one point, Sylvester Stallone is just sick of this guy who he's reluctantly working with. And he's like, listen, Kato, back off.
You don't want to be disrespectful. So you're looking up this guy's name, yet you bring up this terribly offensive joke?
That's what he said. Sung Kang.
Why would you even
repeat
this terribly offensive joke?
Well, I'm saying, it's a wrestling tie-in because Okato, and this was Kato, he called him.
It's terrible.
It's a terrible movie. It's like, I got the feeling it was like this movie was supposed to be like 2 hours and change, and they were like, no, 90 minutes is all you've got. And they just rushed through stuff like exposition left, right, and center, just unnecessary characters that die.
Would it have honestly been better, you think, if this was 2.5 hours?
Listen, Sylvester Stallone has a charm about him that he can make some absolutely shitty movies entertainingly shitty. This did not reach that level. There was an axe fight.
No.
Axe fight. It featured this great line of the evil South African boss telling his henchmen, if I wanted your opinion, I would buy you a brain.
All right.
It sucks.
That's also offensive, what you just said.
How's that offensive?
Yeah, because it was so bad.
It was an offensive movie. Yeah. I wanted to put a bullet to my head by the end of it.
Okay.
Terrible movie, and I blew $12.99 on it.
Wow. Didn't even go on a Tuesday.
And then later that night, I watched Cabin in the Woods. Better, but not as good as people were raving about. This thing had 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm sorry. The last, 30 minutes are like a fucked up acid trip that was caught on film. odd movie. It's like they are, it's a horror movie that's going on, and yet we go back to a control room where they're controlling everything, and it's supposed to be meta for what we demand out of horror movies and what is expected, and that the people want more and more.
Yeah.
All right, guys, it's a fucking horror movie. Let's not overthink things here. Mm. So, good movie, not a great movie. Not 92% worthy.
Okay.
Did you see any movies recently?
No. No, I rarely watch films.
Ever?
Yeah. I can't think of the last movie I started to watch. Yeah, sorry.
British Boot Camp.
Yeah.
Yes, we were talking about music. I guess we should just dive into this. How did you just watch? Did you just like marathon through these six episodes, or did you?
No, I took breaks in between. Yeah,
they're easy to watch. I found, like, you know, 20-minute episodes. It's like this to me a lot easier to watch than like if it was like a 2.5-hour pay per view.
Oh, of course.
This is like, you know, 20 minutes. It's like sit down, boom.
I always welcome weeks when we don't just sit down to watch, you know, full pay-per-views and something different, you know, whether it be a game show or a TV show or even a movie. But this was great. Half-hour shows. It's just such a departure from what I'm used to with pro wrestling, when things are usually at least 2 hours, if not three or four, to be able to sit down and watch something that's...
They don't really cater to the ADD fan, wrestling as a whole. I guess, you know, you can have your matches here and there, but...
Yeah.
No, it's an investment.
22 minutes, come on. I more than welcome that.
Issue of Superior Spider-Man, sit down for a half hour, boom, you're done.
Minutes, yeah.
I'm not watching. Imagine reading a comic book for 3.5 hours.
Oh, that happens too.
Does it?
Like graphic novels? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And I could do that too.
One issue?
Yeah. Well, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes they're just released as a graphic novel.
No. That's a heavy.
Well, yeah, I try not. I usually break that up. But if I'm really into a story, like I've read like 300-page stories in one go.
I have still yet to read issue 3. Is issue 4 coming out this week?
I think it's 2 weeks. So it's a week from this Thursday, and we'll talk about it.
We're gonna chat about issue 3 once I'm done. You've read it?
I have.
Okay. Episode 1 is pretty much our introduction to our four contestants. They pretty much, you knew this show had some, well, at least some production or money behind it, because we kicked off with Jay-Z and Kanye West.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, because the music laws seem to be different, at least with this channel, they can use any song. So it felt like at times I was at a tattoo, like I was at a club.
Well, they were at a club here to announce the winners.
Oh, there you go. But, I mean, overall, I have to say, I found it, the use of the pop music here, just really cheesy and more often than not distracting.
Because I like subtle accents in terms of uses of music. And there were a few instances throughout this series where it would be like the lyrics were identical to what was happening.
Like, yeah.
I go down, and it's like, okay.
Or it's like,
this is really clever.
Or it's like, this guy's a rock star. Okay, well, let's play Sad But True by Metallica. Yeah, because they both rock. It's just so incredibly, I found it very cliched and just very distracting.
Yes, Jay-Z and Kanye here kicking us off. And then we pretty much establish Hulk Hogan and Dixie Carter as the authorities here, with hundreds of wrestlers, prospective wrestlers in the UK trying out. And they announced the candidates, Marty Scurll from Cambridge. And Magnus talks on camera about Marty being his best friend. And then we get a Linkin Park-themed video on Marty Scurll.
That's the other thing about the show, is that for how little we see of Magnus on TNA Impact Wrestling, he's a prominent part of this British Boot Camp. He commentates on the wrestlers' matches. We see him throughout the whole process commenting on all the participants. And here he's introduced as Marty's best friend.
Party Marty. Then the next finalist that made the show, Rockstar Spud from Manchester, who we had Living on a Prayer, which turned into Eye of the Tiger, followed by Hulk Hogan doing a promo plugging Spud.
Well, because he says Hogan was his inspiration, and that's why they played Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, so I guess they couldn't get
Xander.
Yeah, and his TNA theme no one would recognize.
No.
Magnus calls him an entertainer. And Spud gives the double finger to his critics out there. And the final contestants, it was a pair here that were essentially vying for a contract together. Hannah and Holly, the Blossom Twins from Manchester. And it shows home footage of them watching Taryn Terrell on Impact.
Yeah.
Aspiring to great heights.
Yeah,
Taryn right. Terrell. Months later, Wei, why Taryn Terrell? Clearly paying above market value here for a woman that really, this role could be filled by any blonde out there for a portion of the price tag that I guarantee Taryn Terrell was able to maneuver.
I wouldn't necessarily say so. I mean,
like, I feel you could offer a woman probably $200 per TV appearance what Taryn Terrell does, and there's no way Taryn Terrell is doing that.
How do you know she's not making $200?
She's being flown in, first of all.
Well, I don't know. She has some pro wrestling experiences, and you know what? For what she has done, she's been doing a decent job as a plain referee.
But there's nothing that Taryn Terrell brings to the table that is unique to Taryn Terrell that...
Some people have heard of her, and she looks great on camera. But you know,
I can find lots of people, I'm sure, in Florida that look great on camera.
Yeah,
I'm sure
none of them have.
If I walk through the Universal Studios lot and I pass the olive oil play, sure if I went next door,
they did try that and it didn't turn out very well.
Well, maybe Claire Lynch was meant to be a referee.
No.
Maybe Julia Riley just didn't realize non-speaking role. Authoritative. She would be like the Kim Winslow of TNA. You tie her hair back.
Yeah, and she would be just
orders stand-ups all the time without any realization. You braid her ponytail.
She would be just
and she's taller than most of the guys.
Yeah.
Put some gloves on her.
I don't know if
Claire Winslow.
I don't think so.
No. Anyway, they show footage from Ohio Valley Wrestling with the twins working and also working with children with behavioral problems.
I did some research on these girls, and it appears that they have already spent a lot of time in OVW.
Mm-hmm.
These girls were actually signed. Were they signed to OVW?
I don't know if they had developmental deals, but yes, they were from Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Okay.
So they were already certainly on TNA's radar, similar to Andy Levine and Christina Crawford. I think Alicia Fox's younger sister on Tough Enough. Those two were already in Florida Championship Wrestling when they went on to Tough Enough. So hiring from within. And so those four are introduced to the whole crowd and pretty much setting the scene for the whole series. And they really play up this feud between Marty Scurll and Spud. And they're in a limo together. And Scurll tells Spud, "There are two people that wear glasses indoors, blind people and wankers."
Sunglasses.
Sunglasses inside.
Yeah. Wankers. Yeah.
This was the beginning of what I found to be... The Skrull and Spud stuff was just, I think, annoying would be an accurate description. I mean, listen, I understand I'm watching a reality show where we are going to play with things for the maximum impact of enjoyment, but... Yeah. At some times, it was just like, please, you are like hitting me over the head with just how contrived some of this was.
I would say for this show, and I'm not really used to too much British reality television, but I would say certainly this show, it just seemed really obvious, way more obvious than you know, maybe Survivor or Big Brother or any of those other shows, that this stuff... they were doing for the camera, and this was just acting and playing out storylines that were written.
Yep. They all go out to party the night before their boot camp was to start, and basically Spud gets hammered and starts arguing with Skrull, and the twins are mad at them, and they actually get into an argument over who has more Twitter followers, with Marty Skrull being the victor because he has been featured on the front of The Sun, which they always cite as... You were on the front page for the wrong reasons, and you had that incident, but they never...
Yeah, they did.
What did they say?
He was on a dating show.
Oh, but it said, like, for the wrong reasons. It made it seem like there was some scandal.
I think that's
like
what...
Like he had testosterone replacement therapy or something.
That's what Spud was referring to, that he only has more Twitter followers.
Is that a black mark, that he was on a dating show?
If you want to be a wrestler to male wrestling fans,
okay.
I'd say so.
Well, how convinced, Wei, were you when Spud punched Skrull in the face in their limo?
No, not at all. I mean, they seem to follow a basic reality show formula here. Just get a group of young, attractive people together in close quarters and then just give them a lot of alcohol. And then just wait for the punches to fly.
Yep. So Spud gets hammered and ditches the group. And then next morning he wakes up and Spud is completely hungover. And they reveal Rollerball Mark Rocco as the trainer. And they're given 10 minutes to get ready, and Spud is not ready. And they end the show with him outside vomiting. And surprise, surprise, he is caught by Rollerball. vomiting.
What's going to happen?
Tune in next week.
Yep. Well, from the start, after this episode, it definitely seems as though Spud is the most... he's the character that has the most showmanship attributed to him, and that probably comes from the experience he has.
He's been working a long time.
He's 10 years, he said.
Yeah.
He's 29. He plays the biggest character in all of his promos. He's the guy who comes in with an actual gimmick. He's the one who starts shit. So, you know, from the get-go, it definitely seems like he's the one to watch. The other guys, Marty is basically a clone of, to me, Ronnie from the Jersey Shore. It looks like him. I don't know. He's got a frat boy character, very much the same. And the Blossom Twins, they're honestly really just there to look pretty and to react to these boys.
They were, like, presented as the most wholesome girls you have ever seen.
Yeah. What do you think of the decision to only have, you know, essentially three characters here?
I didn't have an issue with it. I preferred less rather than more. You only had six episodes, so it's not like you could do elaborate eliminations every week and have it come down to, like, a final two or something like that. You really didn't have the time. And I thought it gave a chance that instead of, you know, doing that kind of style, you instead really got invested here in these four people, which essentially it was like three candidates instead of four. And I think by the end of it, you could probably make arguments for giving the contract to any of these.
Yeah, and you know, for all we might gripe about how scripted all this stuff seems, in the end, the goal is probably just to get these personalities over. And I'd say by keeping the cast to this minimum, they've achieved that.
Episode 2 begins with a lecture by Rocco to Spud. You're throwing your career away. You're throwing it away. I enjoyed Rollerball Rocco here, who was clearly, I think, had no idea who these people were and was probably did like a half day with these folks and basically watched them bump. And that is what they did. And Deadmau5 kicked off this week's commercial musical selections with a training sequence as the Blossom Twins, they work together. And this is where we got the ankle injury to one of the Blossoms, who continued through the pain of this ankle injury. And Rocco gives the girl the seal of approval that you have real true grit.
You've continued no matter what. That is the lesson in this business.
If you're up, in Wembley Arena, you can't just stop because you've hurt your ankle.
You give up for any reason.
You got to keep going. Don't be a baby.
Concussions? Come on.
Yeah.
Fight through it.
Then Skrull and Spud get into the ring, and Skrull is basically just tying him up, and they're playing up. Spud is just a wreck here from his night of drinking, and a shoot has escalated here in the ring.
Well, I don't know. This is where the part of the show that I think I had the biggest problems with, because you know, in the past you watch a Tough Enough, and they weren't protective at all about these types of things. They were you know, very honest. This is you guys cooperating to have a wrestling match. There's no winner or loser here. They completely stray away from kayfabe. Yet with this British Boot Camp, it's very much like what I've seen in Gut Check, where it's kind of half of each, where they are judging each other based on their performances, but at the same time, when they go through these match recaps, they kind of talk about it as if they're actually fighting. So I've found a real disconnect there.
I'm lost with this stuff when it comes to 2013. Anyone watching this show, it's like, you know, I understand when it's within the body of a pro wrestling show, it's a different presentation when it's a wrestling show. This is a reality show about getting into wrestling, and we're talking about everything attached with being a pro wrestler. And here we've got, yeah, this part to me was just a little, I mean, we had Spud, you know, leave the ring and yell, calling Rocco, oh, you old man. It's just like, come on.
And then Spud, Spud is very impressed with, what's his name? Rocco is very impressed with Spud. Sorry, you didn't get to the point yet, where Rocco basically takes Spud in the ring and decides
to wrestle
him himself, Stu Hart dungeon style, putting him in a bunch of submissions, and then at the end he says, I was very impressed with Spud, he didn't tap out. He didn't tap out to any of my submissions, he's a tough kid.
Yeah, it was, he gift-wrapped at him, and he didn't tap.
Yeah.
Good for him. So he, Rocco gives them all the endorsement and they will go to the next stage, which is heading over to the U.S. But before that, they are going to go through Media Day with TNA publicist and a man that, has, I've interviewed many a time, Simon Rothstein, taking them to, various, interviewers, including Patrick Lennon of the Daily Star, listed as one of the toughest interviews in the business.
Yeah. Sir, who's this Simon Rothstein?
Simon Rothstein is a guy that used to work for The Sun in the UK. Did a radio show for them and also did did writing for them as well. So
For pro wrestling.
Yes, did pro wrestling. And yeah, I had him on Fight Network Radio a lot of times. I'm sure we had him on The Law actually a few times as well.
Okay.
So, and then I was hired by TNA a couple of years back. And so Patrick Lennon is interviewing Party Marty, asking him questions such as, are you Britain's most annoying wrestler? And you're a player, aren't you, Marty? And Skrull and Spud go on to Talk Sport. This is where they played Duck Sauce. Barbara Streisand.
Are you going to list every song?
I listed quite a few here. I'm just all giving right. the viewer at home the full ambience of these scenes.
Barbara Streisand.
While the girl spoke,
you know what? You should when you edit this podcast, you should put.
I should just have a continual instrumental track underneath.
Yeah.
They spoke to Cosmopolitan, and then they spoke to Rob McNichol of The Sun, another guy we have had on this show, way.
Ooh.
Yes.
Name dropping.
Man. Yeah. Where the fuck were we?
I don't know. Maybe they'll do a Canadian boot camp.
Canadian boot camp. Anyway, they say how Skrull has been on page one. They talk about this. And throughout this, controversial answer here from Marty Skrull, because one of the interviewers asked him about, what do you think of TNA president Dixie Carter? And Marty Skrull says, I would.
Hmm.
Leaving it open-ended. What would you do? And apparently Simon Rothstein believing it means, oh, you mean you'd bone her.
Yeah, there's a scene here where Simon Rothstein basically chews out Party Marty for saying that. And it just came across as, Jesus, like, I'm sure Simon's a really nice guy, needs to take some acting classes, because this scene just played out so fake.
We've got this great idea. We're going to have Party Marty say he would fuck you, Dixie. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Anyway, then we go for promo skills at the Garage in Islington.
Uh-huh.
Not to be confused with Mississauga.
Yep.
Spud cuts a great heel promo here. And then steals the microphone from the Blossom Twins and refers to them as ring rats. And they allege here that Spud went into business for himself out here in the ring.
Yeah.
Skrull comes out last and the people chant for him and they gauges the crowd and they vote on who the best on the mic is and they declare that Skrull was the winner. And Spud challenges Skrull to a match, but then bails and leaves. Borash says they all passed the test. And the show ends with the four flying to the U.S. Here was the issue here is that, again, we set it up here that you are going out there to get the best reaction possible as a cutting a promo.
Yeah.
So first of all, just from the psychology of this, why would you cut a heel promo?
Because this is not a real competition.
I didn't understand this. And then they played it off that the Blossom Twins were double-crossed in the ring by this mic being stolen, and they had a good comeback here.
Mm-hmm.
So
the thing is, this stuff I think would totally work on a actual reality show like the Jersey Shore, yet pro wrestling is already a work. And so when you're trying to work a work, it just cancels itself, and it just kind of turns into what we saw here, which was just kind of goofy. I don't know. To an average person who doesn't follow wrestling, maybe this was really compelling. But to you and I and people listening to the show, it probably just came across as really goofy.
And that really begs the question here, who did TNA have in mind as their target viewer here?
Right.
Maybe it's simply going for the casual wrestling fan that I mean, it's not like this is a terrible direction to go, but I think it's you're trying to do two different things, and it's very difficult to, you know, take one thing and then it's completely contradicted by another of what is this contest and what am I following here in terms of becoming a professional wrestler. Episode 3 is where they land in Phoenix for Bound for Glory weekend, and they're doing publicity photos, and then they attend the Hall of Fame.
And man, I really do have to say, the way they portrayed TNA, the company itself, in this show was tremendous.
Exact.
They made TNA look like the only game in town, bigger than the WWE.
I thought that was the biggest takeaway and the biggest positive of these 6 episodes was that these people, you had hundreds of people coming out for the spot of one contract position with TNA, mm-hmm. and they positioned TNA is the grand prize.
They had all these guys cite, you know, TNA, current active TNA roster members as their inspirations for getting into it, you know, with Hogan, with Hardys, and Sting even. And
yep.
doing this fan fest, doing this Hall of Fame, it made TNA look like a really big deal.
I completely agree with you. So we go to the Hall of Fame, which was featured Sting going in. And they chose Bittersweet Symphony for Sting's induction.
Yeah, I hear it now.
What does that mean?
You're going to have to pay the Rolling Stones.
Yes. This is where we started playing the Marty Skrull is hitting on Hannah game.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a love interest amongst the four.
All right.
And Hulk Hogan said that the British boot camp contestants, they had one empty seat at their table, and it would be filled by someone in TNA. And who would it be but a very tired-looking Kurt Angle sauntering in, and I don't want to say he was drunk, but this guy seemed to be. I would say
you can't make these accusations.
Listen, as someone that has
slander,
I'm just saying. Listen, based on experiences where I have seen people, you know, who have the drunk giggles. Kurt had the drunk giggles here, just laughing at Rockstar Spud. So he was either
maybe
trying to really...
he's really funny.
Maybe it was, you've got to laugh at Rockstar Spud no matter what he does because he's the entertainer. Anyway, Kurt here was... he puts the four over for having respect, and that is the key to making it in this business, is having respect.
To me, the translation to that comment is basically, I don't know shit about these guys.
Four.
They're really nice to me, so they're respectful. That's all.
Yeah. Then they got to meet not only Dixie, but also Hulk Hogan and Sting as clocks ticked us down by Coldplay to this big meeting.
Oh, and, God.
The next day, they attend Bound for Glory. They have a photo shoot, which ends in chaos with Rockstar Spud not understanding how lengthy photo shoots can be. Which way, we actually had a photo shoot last week. It was pretty painless, I think.
No, we had a corporate photo shoot.
Yeah.
Photos for our ID cards. And I guess in the case of John and some of the other talent. And I guess for our podcast.
Yeah, you and I had to do some.
We did some shots for potential publicity.
The longest shots we took were, it was me, John Ramdeen, Robin Black, and Corey Erdman. And the four of us had to stand there and do these promotional shots. And it's just like, okay, laughs, whatever, goofy. And then at the end, they're like, okay, we might never use this one, but we need one for Hard News. And I was like, well, what do you want us to do? And they were like, okay, well, cross your arms, and I just want you to stare very seriously. It took us 10 minutes because every time I burst out laughing, I was like, this is so silly. This is stupid. This is like we're mocking news people. It was like Anchorman outtakes.
And
it was so stupid.
I know. And before people realize, hey, isn't that the shot that John and Wei use for their review, Wei Review and Impact podcast? Wait, let me just say, those shots were done as a goof. We took those pictures for our...
to promote us having a drinking contest.
Our birthday party drinking contest, which you can see the posters probably under our Facebook accounts. But those were done as... we were having a laugh, as the Brits would say.
Yeah, they wanted serious. I hope we use this photo because it's fucking hilarious.
Okay.
Well, hard news.
Hard news.
We break it. You accept it.
Arms crossed.
Break tough. Now. Oh, God.
You also did the fist, didn't you? Did you guys do a fist?
The fist, though, we did, like, jokingly.
Okay.
I hate the fucking fist picture. It's so stupid.
Mm.
Who was I talking to about this? It's like, what other profession do people symbolize and illustrate their vocation by taking photos? Like, imagine, like, do baseball players, imagine them, like, a pitcher winding up as he takes a picture or having a bat,
yeah,
or a hockey player in mid shot.
Or taking a picture with a cop and he's holding up a gun.
Yeah, or us with, like, microphones as we take a picture. It's I don't understand how the fist was able to creep its way into photos.
Yeah.
Fighters and fans.
It's just there,
fist,
you know?
Fist, tough fighting, yeah.
Yeah, it's just there.
It's so silly.
Yeah.
That's a future contest. Best fist photos.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, non-pornographic versions, of course. Because okay. some powers will get creative.
Yeah, that really limits the options.
That'll be a future one. Best fist photo.
Okay.
Anyway, so they go to they finish their photo shoot. They meet with Dixie Carter, who's going to have them sit in the front row at Bound for Glory, and they have been formatted into the show. They are going to get 10 seconds on camera.
We didn't know how much time they were going to get. We thought 10 seconds, but it actually felt even
less. It might have been 7.
Yeah.
This was the part to me where it's like, yes, and I would not have done this any differently if I was TNA, but they made this like the biggest deal. You guys are going to be on camera at Bound for Glory. And it's like, I'd totally accept this if this was like WrestleMania. I'm like, this is huge. Everyone's watching this. It's like, in my head, I'm like, 15,000 people bought this show. I mean, this is marginally better than like some of the old Ring of Honor taped pay-per-views that used to run. Like, I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, is...
The other thing is, we're going to talk about a bit more later once Dixie actually dissects these 7 seconds.
Hey, I'm not going to knock that segment. I enjoyed that segment.
Well, the thing is, does anybody remember any time they do one of these things? It has no impact at all. No effect whatsoever.
Are you chewing gum?
I'm not chewing gum.
You're not.
Well, then I'm not sticking my tongue out either.
That's not a star.
I learned my lesson.
Oh, that was a fun segment. That's up there with Bellator, the Bellator middleweight title breakdown.
Let's not spoil it.
Okay.
We'll get to it.
Then they walk down the ramp as they go into this montage to Kickstart My Heart.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I thought it was Metallica.
I thought it was Kickstart My Heart.
Okay.
Man, there's too much 80s coming at me at once.
Right.
And they get shown on camera as Tara comes out for her match. And that's how the show ends, with them then heading to Nashville to TNA headquarters after Bound for Glory for a dissection of their 7-second on cam.
Mm.
So, some big stuff. At this point, you're midway through way. What are your overall impressions of the show after 3 episodes?
For a review show and a pro wrestling product, I thought this was pretty compelling. Like we talked about earlier.
I was interested in all 4
the focus,
characters.
Yeah, the focus being on only 3 people really helped get those personalities across, and I think that was a great choice. But as a wrestling show... Oh, what are you laughing at?
You can read it.
Okay, so John just showed me a text from @AgnewJason. So, at Law Radio fans, what do you think of the new move Brooke Tess debuted on Impact?
Tagging Brooke Tessmacher.
What do you think it should be called? A, the Vaginator. B, Punani Punch. Or C, Boxing.
Foxing.
I get it. I vote C.
I hope she retweets us.
Yeah. Boxing.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the support.
Oh, God. Yeah, if you're not watching Impact,
sorry, you kind of open yourself up to...
Punani Punch.
Jokes and Punani jokes when you introduce a move like that. Do you think that stays in Tessmacher's arsenal?
I think there's...
The Blossom Twins might steal it.
There's so many people talking about it, or at least we are, that I think she should keep it. Absolutely.
Vagtastic.
Vagtastic, okay. Well,
back to
we
the
move
show.
On. Did we get to the point where Hogan and Sting meet them after the Hall of Fame
oh,
speech?
Oh shit.
And you know, if you watched Impact this past week, you saw that same shot, but the shot of Hogan and Sting meeting these guys, that really is the shot where you really notice how small all 4 of these people are.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, Spud's gimmick is that he's a small guy. And that's all fine, but I always thought at least Marty would be sort of a regular, decent-sized guy, but he didn't even go up to Sting's shoulder. So, you know, next to all these guys, you really have to wonder where they stand in the actual TNA roster. And we saw Spud with Robbie E on Impact, and he's smaller than Robbie E, who's
not a small guy. He's a small guy, so, even by TNA standards,
so
where he has a smaller body build.
So, you know, as a heel, which, you know, the way, I guess they might repackage him or whatever, but I don't know. It's hard to buy.
We head into episode number 4, and this is where we have the meeting with Dixie Carter. They go to Nashville to TNA headquarters, and they go out to lunch to dissect 7 seconds of footage where Dixie pulls out an iPad, and we see all of them on screen, and they basically do a pan of all 4, and they have their literally an eye blink to make an impression. And Dixie asked them how they thought they did. They all think, oh, you know, pretty good. I mean, well, what the hell are we watching here?
I looked at the camera. I smiled.
Yeah, I appeared in the crowd. And Dixie here picking up on a lot of things, including Marty Skrull chewing gum on camera, Spud not acting like a rock star by sticking his tongue out and then trying to video bomb the Blossom Twins portion of the 7 seconds and leaning over to get more camera time. Mm-hmm. And says that she had some preconceived notions going into this contest of who would win, but she says that's changing.
Based on these 7 seconds.
Yeah, that's it's changing.
I understand why they would do something like this. It's, you know, it's fine. I think it's kind of interesting, a little.
Yeah, I would hate to see Dixie Carter watching WrestleMania 14 when Tyson decked Shawn Michaels and he was still chewing gum.
Oh, okay.
Or biggest show of the year.
Or any Mr. Perfect match. Or a Shawn Michaels match.
Not actually. A star. No. Then we had mini personality pieces on each discussing coming to America, wanting to win this contract.
And the music?
I don't recall. I don't have them all here. But we then went to James Storm's Bound for Glory victory party in Nashville, where we heard Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, and a replay on the big screen of his street fight with Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
Chase Stevens cameo, too, in this bar.
Oh, is that right?
If you recall. And Storm comments on all four of the contestants. They had a mechanical bull riding contest. Then they went on to nude karaoke, where Marty and Hannah made out, and Spud took his clothes off on the bar.
Yeah, I mean,
this was key in becoming integrated, I guess, so to speak, in the Nashville wrestling scene.
You know what? It did enough to get Marty over, and I don't know. I don't know why I was so interested in seeing these two hook up, but I was.
They were then sent to Ohio Valley Wrestling to train with Al Snow and Doug Williams. And Spud and Skrull are told to run the ropes, and Snow points out, you're running the ropes incorrectly. Which for these guys, Jesus. Being told a significant note, I would imagine, yeah. A little late in their mm-hmm. careers. And Snow gives them this very long sequence to roll through. And that's how it ends the show. Al Snow, talk about making the most of your limited time on camera. Yeah. Was Al Snow, who was great here.
Al Snow's awesome. And
I wish he was kind of like the Jeremy Borash figure in this series.
It really shows just how great of a choice he was as the coach of Tough Enough. And how really he excels in that position on camera, in reality as well. In contrast to the what is it, Rollerball Rocco segments or the other Dixie Carter segments, this I found to be the most realistic about pro wrestling in his critique.
Yes, I'm with you. Episode 5, we had a tag match here with Spud and Marty teaming, and this ends with who did they work here?
Constantine and Diamond. I don't know who those two are. Not Simon Diamond, obviously.
Yeah. Another. So this was just like a local show where they were working.
This is an OVW.
Sorry. I'm confusing this with earlier. So we had them working here a tag match, and it ends with Spud giving Marty the finger and stealing the pinfall at the end. This, to me, was the low point of our main criticism here, where this was played as a shoot of Spud basically screwing him here on the finish and then walking into the back. And basically, to me, if this was a legit competition, he'd be out here.
Right, because he finished the match early.
Yeah, and Snow argues to him about doing business in the ring.
Yeah.
So this is the contradiction here. It's like, okay, you guys are preaching here about being professionals, and this whole thing is geared around the legitimate preparation of becoming a wrestler. And here we have a supposed double cross in the ring, and this guy's in the competition.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. To play devil's advocate, if the intent really is just to push these guys as personalities and to push Spud as this rebel who doesn't follow the rules. Is this, I don't know, could you see a point in that?
By the time, I mean, I just, I didn't...
I don't think I would have such an issue with it if it didn't seem so hokey, but just watching this, it just seems so planned. And I don't know. For me, it's hard to buy, but maybe for somebody else watching it would.
This was not Chris Lieben and Josh Koscheck.
Oh, no. God, no. Well, that's the thing. Like, you look at a reality show like The Ultimate Fighter, and I don't doubt that there are staged elements in that, too. But at least I'm sure it feels much more organic than
the conflict feels real.
Yeah.
And this did not to me. The Blossom Twins then worked against Taylor Hendricks and another woman whose name I didn't catch. They got good feedback from Al Snow. And then they had a basically a breakdown meeting here where Snow and Williams addresses all of them. They talk about Marty Scurll doing his entrance on the floor, and that's a negative. You should be above the people. You should do it in the ring. Said that he rushed through his comeback. And then they had interesting feedback on the girls here, saying that you need to understand you're women and you can't be ashamed of your looks. You have to promote that aspect of yourself, but still showing aggression, telling them don't pull hair, your baby faces. And then Spud going into business for himself, but had a good entrance, needs to slow down. These two I thought were really great in terms of just breaking down their matches and pointing out things that maybe the average person wouldn't pick up on.
Yeah, this was really, I mean, aside from the whole Spud going into business for himself thing, which I think they're written to say, but everything else that Snow and Williams say were tremendous. And this was the part of Tough Enough that I really enjoyed the most. And for me, as a wrestling fan for a long time, the stuff that I wish they focused more on for a show like this.
So they get the passing grade, and then they are flown to Orlando, and they arrive at the Impact Zone, and we hear from Jeff Hardy, Taryn Terrell, Samoa Joe, Dixie Carter, Mickie James, and Bully Ray, probably meeting these people 5 minutes before and giving us a generic comment about each of them.
Yeah.
And what they could accomplish. They're shaking hands in the back. They bring up Rollerball Rocco on Skype, who wishes them good luck and puts them all over and outlines their strengths. A lot that Rocco took away from an afternoon training session.
Apparently, they all commented how emotional this meeting was, yet I'm sure these guys probably met this Rocco dude for one hour.
One guy.
Now he's
one day.
Now he's like Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan. Carter tells them that tonight it's going to be the Blossom Twins against Gail Kim and Madison Rayne, and Spud is going to take on Marty Scurll. And then Kim and Rayne cut these in-character heel promos that it will be a day off and they're going to win tonight.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we can get a tail of the tape and Mike Goldberg and Joe Rogan calling this one.
Wrestling is just such a weird thing, you know. I'm sure there's a lot of misdirection throughout this entire process about, hey, should we stay in character or should we not? And I don't know. If for an outsider, I'm sure Borash produced most of this, but I feel like maybe he's probably affiliated with a lot of non-wrestling people in production as well. It's just a weird thing.
Brooke Hogan, they asked for picks, and Brooke Hogan picks the Blossom Twins. Kurt Angle picks his buddy Spud. Taz picks Marty Scurll, and AJ Styles just can't pick. Right down the middle.
Yeah.
Picks for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Brooke Hogan endorsement, though, for the Blossom Twins. That's good. And then we go to episode 6, the final episode of British Boot Camp. And this is pretty much like a mini version of Impact, essentially. We had it open up with Magnus and Jeremy Borash on commentary to call the matches. And it's followed by Hulk Hogan doing a huge promo on, you know, he was slamming giants and selling out buildings across the world. And it goes pretty much into a wrestling show here, with Spud and Scurll coming out for their match. Hogan and Dixie are in the back watching, and Hogan notes that Spud looks like a movie star.
Yes, he does. He comes out to Living on a Prayer.
Living on a Prayer.
And who's going to boo somebody coming out to Living on a Prayer? Come on.
Boo.
Everybody loves that song.
Borash says that they have a television crowd worldwide tonight, which they at least had 4 people watching because they showed Dixie, Hogan, Jeff Hardy, and Kurt Angle in the back. Hogan says that their own guys could learn some things from these two. And Scurll wins the match, winning it with a DVD. And Dixie and Hogan start dancing in the back to Marty Scurll's music.
Yeah, the Bloody Beetroots.
Yeah, and they go to the back and they congratulate Marty. And then our next match is the Blossom Twins against Gail Kim and Madison with the heels cutting a promo. Want them to kiss their feet, but they go for a roll-up at the bell and they'll then go right into the match. And this was a little strange here because Hogan was pretty much evaluating this and was on, you could hear him throughout this match, kind of analyzing this as like a legitimate scouting report here and what is working and what is not working and feeling out the crowd. And then you had Borash and Magnus calling this as a wrestling match, like in the traditional
sense. I thought that worked. I thought that was fun.
Kim hooks the tights, gets the win for her team, and Hogan says that all four would be great additions to the roster. And they go through more guys in the back giving out their picks, including Kazarian. And Gail Kim says she's just going to leave it to the judges.
Hogan loved these matches.
He was a big fan of all four.
I'm sure he. It seemed like he thought these guys were probably better than a lot of people on the roster.
He said that many times. Yeah. Our guys could learn some things.
Our roster sucks. These new guys are way better. Oh, we should.
Who's this guy Magnus? He could be way better than Taz on commentary.
Yeah.
So anyway, Hogan says to them, not an elaborate. You know, reveal here in terms of a setting. We went into a trailer in the Impact Zone to announce the winner. Hogan says, I was surprised after seeing you all in your street clothes, but he's not judging based on size, calls the Blossom Twins a new version of the Spice Girls, and then the selection comes down to...
Oh, God.
They're like a new... They're British. They're girls. The Spice Girls. Like Annie Lennox.
They're going to be a hit like the Queen. They're going to be a hit in 2013. Absolutely.
Yes. So they announced the winner, Rockstar Spud. And this is where Spud compliments Skrull and the Blossoms. Everyone puts everyone over. And then they announced that all four are going to be used on the Road to Lockdown tour, which is the tour they just completed in the UK.
For another chance.
They're all going to get another chance to get a contract.
I feel like this exemplifies what we've heard about Dixie Carter, the fact that she's just...
Too nice.
Way too nice. These people lost.
Everyone gets a ribbon. Participants, winners, losers, everybody.
Get the fuck out of here. You lost. And it goes the same for these gut check people. Of all the gut check competitions, how many have made it through? Like, only two people have not.
Yep.
If that.
Show ends with a montage on Rockstar Spud, and I would expect that all four are going to be on the TNA roster in a few months. I personally think the Blossom Twins, I'd be fine with them being added. But unfortunately, you don't have a Knockouts tag division, so... Logistically, okay. I think they'd be fine in there, but as a tag team, there's nothing for them to do.
They'd be fine, but they'd just be another name on the roster, you know? Like, they are better wrestlers, I'd say, than the Bella Twins, but I don't think they're as charismatic as the Bella Twins. And not to say that the Bella Twins are some great height to achieve to, but at this point, I don't think TNA needs any more people. They have enough people on their roster that's not over. They don't have enough TV time to get everybody over. So I don't know. I think getting one guy into the roster for the sake of this TV show is cool. It's great, but they don't need any more people. They're getting gut check people every single week. They just don't have enough room.
So that was British Boot Camp, the first, at least, rendition of the show. We don't know if they'll do another series. But, you know, you grade this out of 10 way. I a lot of effort put into this. I give this a 5 out of 10. I didn't think it was anything groundbreaking or anything that, you know, really was, you have to see this show. It just didn't leave that impression with me.
I give this a 7 out of 10 because it was... pretty easy to watch, entertaining throughout. I mean, it's not a great reality show by any means, but...
You are right. It positions TNA very well. That was a big positive.
Yeah, for that reason, and also for the fact that at the end of watching these six episodes, I have a pretty firm grasp of who these characters are.
Yep.
So the next time I do see them on TNA Wrestling, I'll know a lot about these guys, and I'll maybe even want to see them wrestle.
All right. Well, we've given our review, and now we will head on over to the Law message board and see what you guys had to say about this show. So we start off here. I laughed at you guys trying to get your head around British insults the other day. Okay, we're not reading any more Muppet corrections. My God, this is the stupidest debate. I found the show to be the usual reality bollocks that clutters up the TV schedule, but it was for a good cause, so I hope they've done well out of it. Hogan came across as insincere and awesome like always, and Dixie seemed pretty down to earth.
He did seem insincere. Like, it seemed like he was just complimenting everything, everybody. Hire them all.
These guys could headline WrestleMania. Glad Spud won. He does the pretty boy twat thing far better than the likes of Robbie Ian Zima Ion. The Blossoms are lovely, in fact, probably too nice to reach their full potential in the business. But if TNA starts putting them into the Knockouts division again, I'm certain they'll get called up, as the twin novelty is one too good to pass up on. Are the Knockout tag titles still in existence? That'd be perfect to get them going. Couldn't stand Marty, to be honest. Guys like him are 10 a penny.
Chris Levitt. Oh, okay. Yeah, Muppet. Soft in the sense that they are stupid. I don't know if you have it in Canada, but soft in the UK also means someone who is physically weak and easy to beat up. Speaking of, Spud. Although he doesn't look like he could beat an egg, Spud is a credible veteran wrestler who I think could fit in nicely in the X Division. Just a shame that the X Division hardly exists anymore. I thought the show was entertaining enough, but in my opinion, lacked competitive spirit. I think perhaps because it only featured four wrestlers. The obvious upside to this is getting to know the characters. Spud was a great, annoying little shit. I actually thought Marty was good too, and came across as someone you'd want to go out on the piss. Another English colloquialism for you. With. The Blossoms are very sexy, but came across as too vanilla. I'd agree with that.
Roddy from Glasgow, Scotland. I watch this show each week here in the UK, and although it was entertaining enough, it did not feature nearly enough actual wrestling. I thought the match between Spud and Marty at the end was a good match, even if Marty was clearly a far superior wrestler. This was obvious in episode 2 when he made a fool of Spud, who then ran off crying. It annoyed me that this was supposed to be a competition, yet at every stage they put the three of them through. Even at the end, when they announced Spud as the winner, they revealed a lot of them were going to be staying with the company.
Yes.
For me, Spud is never a credible wrestler due to his size. He looked about 3 feet tall when he met Hogan and Sting, and generally acted like a total cock muncher throughout the whole show. The funniest moment by far was Marty basically going on radio saying he would happily fuck Dixie Carter. 5.5 inappropriate comments out of 10.
Rich from Idaho. I originally had no desire to watch the show. However, after deciding to check out an episode during my break at work, I quickly found myself sucked in, and 2+ hours later I had accomplished nothing and watched the entire season. Oops. A good show, especially for it being two things I don't normally watch, reality TV and TNA. Guess two wrongs sometimes do make a right. The only parts I didn't really care for were the appearances by Hulk Hogan. I did find it funny how he was having a mini orgasm over the two guys wrestling. The only time I've ever seen the Hulkster get that excited about a pair is when he tweeted about his daughter's legs. I personally thought the Blossom Twins were by far and away the best performers and thought they should have won, but instead they gave it to the drunk guy who showed little dedication and did not cooperate with his partner in the ring. I guess that's TNA for you. Oh, that heel.
Oh, yes.
Because it was still a reality show and I feel the wrong person won, I'll give the show a 6.5 out of 10, which is still pretty good for something I originally had no interest in watching.
Jake from the UK. I thought TNA's British Boot Camp was a relatively entertaining show that lacked suspense or a real sense of competition. I was familiar with Spud and Marty, but not the Blossom Twins, and to be fair, all impressed me in one way or another. I'm really glad Spud won, though. I've known of him for the better part of a decade, and anyone who follows indie wrestling in the UK knows he's definitely paid his dues and deserves this sort of opportunity. Some highlights for me were Rollerball Rocco beating the crap out of Spud, the very lame OVW screwjob segment between Marty, Spud, and Hogan apparently watching his first ever cruiserweight-style match and absolutely losing his shit. Also, credit to Jeremy Borash. He did a great job of producing, editing the show, using some pretty cool music as well. To anyone watching from outside the UK, British Boot Camp probably came across like a 6-part edition of Gut Check, but to me it meant a bit more. Overall, fun and accessible show with a few flaws. 7 out of 10.
Alex from England. British Boot Camp was a decent show that I think could have done with being a couple of episodes longer. The whole thing seemed rushed, and I think it could have benefited from having a couple more challenges and maybe one of the contestants being eliminated. I get that they wanted to keep all four, well, three as they counted the Blossom Twins as one contestant, strong, but the show lacked drama, which could have made it a bit more interesting. Maybe they should have had some sort of tryout show at the start to explain why these four were chosen above the hundreds of other wrestlers in the UK. I've seen both Spud and Marty at indie shows before, and I think both are really good. However, they made the right choice by giving the win to Spud. He's one of the best characters in British wrestling for years now, whether it's as a small guy underdog or as the cocky heel rock star. I think he'll make a great addition to the X Division, if they ever actually focus on it, and I'm sure that we'll see Marty and the Blossoms show up in TNA soon enough. Overall, I give the show a 7 out of 10.
Joshua, in but not from St. Petersburg, Russia. Not wanting to rehash what others have said, as I agree for the most part, as opposed to Alex, I like that there wasn't somebody eliminated. I'm not really a fan of reality TV with the formula of eliminating somebody every episode, so that made the show seem fresh to me. I also think the right worker won. This series was a solid 6 out of 10 for me. Nothing spectacular I would go out of my way to watch, but I wouldn't turn it off if it happened to be on either.
Paul Ellett. Initially, I was a bit disappointed with the first two episodes of Boot Camp when they aired. I thought the more recent season of Tough Enough was a more complete package without relying on the obviously scripted soap opera theatrics of X Factor and American Idol. However, as the series progressed, things really improved. I could see Boot Camp's format being more appealing to that mainstream audience who enjoy the scripted theatrics of X Factor each week in their millions. What you may not know was the huge amount of media coverage it got here in the UK, with Hogan and the Hopefuls appearing on popular TV shows and in magazines. In giving three marketable acts a large platform to get over with a huge audience, it's probably the best thing for British wrestling since the World of Sport era. Most don't even know there is a domestic industry. One of the positives I thought was the use of contemporary music, making wrestling seem relevant. I also thought it made TNA seem a big deal, having the company name all over the show and filming it at their biggest pay-per-view of the year in an arena. Of course, for wrestling fans who watch WWE's Hall of Fame each year, TNA's version appeared very inferior. I actually thought that episode during Bound for Glory weekend was a turning point for the series. The other positive that it had over Tough Enough was that it showed the final matches in full rather than highlights. Rollerball Rocco was a good pick as a link to the past, even if he didn't feature that much. I felt like Boot Camp was a high priority for TNA, and a lot of effort was put into the show company-wide. They really do show their appreciation for their UK fanbase all year round, especially Borash and Simon Rothstein. Extra, below is a pick I took of Spud being tossed in the air by the future Antonio Cesaro and Cassius Ohno when he was on the first ROH weekend here in the UK in 2006. You can check that out at the board.
Mark from Scotland. First, I just wanted to say I found it funny on Review and Impact when John said the British really hate the Scots. I found this funny because Scots are British. Anyway, on to British Boot Camp. I thought the show was pretty good, but so blatantly staged that it couldn't be considered a reality show or a competition. Things like Spud punching Marty, Spud getting drunk, and one of the Blossom twins injuring themselves and fighting on to show how tough she was. These were all good for TV, but not for 1 minute did I think that they actually happened. I thought the whole show was basically a 6-week promo to get these guys over, and it did do its job in a way because I know more about the four on this show than I do half the people on the TNA roster. Even though I watched all the episodes of this show when I was at the recent TNA house show in Scotland, I heard Party Marty's entrance music. I headed straight to the bar, so I blame him for the fact that I was so drunk by the time the main event came on that I can hardly remember it.
Finally, Trent from Texas. I couldn't get past the first episode of this crap. I found the China porn more redeemable and enlightening than this one episode. This was more contrived than any lucha match I've ever seen. The fight over who has more Twitter followers is what did me in, and I knew I couldn't make it through 5 more episodes. If I'm going to watch this type of television, there needs to be hot women or fat inbred 6-year-olds.
Well, highest common denominator there. Trent from Texas. Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate your feedback to British Boot Camp, and that will bring an end to this week's review. And next week, Mr. Ting, it is February. What do you want to review next week?
It's a very good question.
I did pick British Boot Camp, so yes, I feel you are on the clock now.
Yep.
Come up with something big.
Well, whenever I have a predicament like this, I always resort to our request thread on the message boards. So
there are a lot of requests on that thread.
There are a lot of them. And let's see what the top vote getters are, because it's been a while. Give me 1 second here.
Waiting, using that badass Pro Boards app.
Which is not that badass.
Ask Siri what we should review.
Yeah. I don't even know how do I access this shit?
Here, I will find it for you, Wei. What can we review next week? What do you feel like reviewing, Wei?
Well,
here we go. Okay. So we have February is No Wei Out Elimination Chamber month. There are...
What else is there other than some
pay-per-view. Way is not in the pay-per-view watching
mode. Yeah, I'll be honest, man. Some of these pay-per-views are just... It's the undercards that really get to me. They're so tough.
They're tough, aren't they, Way?
Well, what if you even go down? What are some of the miscellaneous...
You're going the miscellaneous direction.
Other wrestling.
There are movies. There are other.
What are some top vote-getters down there? A lot of people want us to do No Holds Barred, but we've kind of...
We kind of have reviewed that one. I can't watch Wrestling
Hulk,
with Shadows.
How about Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling?
Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling.
Or we can do Chikarosaurus Rex.
Let's do this. Phil Donahue.
Wow.
Featuring Vince McMahon and Bruno Sammartino. And Dave Meltzer on the panel.
That to me is the
That's
draw.
Got four votes. March the 16th of 1992 during the WWF drug and sex scandal. For those of you that are not familiar with the WWF drug and sex scandal, prepare to be scarred of what the WWF was involved in the 80s and early 90s. You want to review that?
I'd love to review that. Can we find that online?
Yes, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. We're going to watch an episode of Phil Donahue next week.
Oh, boy.
And chat about drugs and sex.
Nice.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get Dave Meltzer.
Maybe we will to chat about the Donahue show and his appearance. I have seen this episode, and we will go back and watch
that. Is the whole episode about that?
Oh, yeah. The whole episode. They've got a panel of let me just make sure.
Phil Donahue. Hulk Hogan.
I don't think Hogan's on it. Sure? There we go.
Pro wrestling. If you want to look this up, and I don't think we'll get sued if we announce this.
Donahue is, I don't think, going
go to. Go to YouTube.
Maybe we can get Phil Donahue on the show to chat about it. Phil Donahue, I remember just being horrific on this show.
Just go to YouTube, pro wrestling on Phil Donahue, and you'll see all that. Oh, my God, look at Vince.
All right, that is the review for next week. Okay, next week, Phil Donahue chatting pro wrestling. So that's our review for next week. I can't wait. A great selection by Mr. Ting. All right, we are going to get on out of here, everybody, but you can always go to liveaudiowrestling.com for all your news and audio needs. You can subscribe to Live Audio Wrestling on iTunes. We've got The Law from this past weekend. Of course, review a Raw Monday night, this show, the MMA report's coming up later this week, review an Impact. We will have a bonus post show for UFC. It's going to be a great. And then this Sunday, The Law, of course, with Elimination Chamber this Sunday. So lots of stuff coming your way. As we get on out of here, I thought we could go out here with Rockstar Spud living on a prayer, which is what he might be living on to get a spot on the TNA roster on weekly television. He might be having those mysterious disappearances for a long period of time. But we shall see what happens with Rockstar Spud in this company. So in the meantime, give us a follow at Law Radio, at Way0937, and we will chat with you next week for another edition of Review Away.